Welcome, friends. My name is Debbie Lawrence, and this is episode 24 of the Compassionate Leader School podcast. The gifted life coach Rhonda Britton introduced me to the model of stretch, risk, or die in her work on encouraging people to live their lives fearlessly. It's a powerful way of looking at goal setting and risk taking and a helpful tool to use for yourself and with your team. In my work with clients, it's natural for them to have a dream for their business. In fact, we all have a dream for ourselves, for our families, and for what we want to experience as we go through the various stages of life. The same thing happens in our work world. When you talk with people about what they want to achieve in their careers or with their business, if you listen closely, you'll hear details about their vision for what they hope and believe is possible. That's the dream. And when it comes to compassionate leaders, they seem to naturally have a vision for their business or department, for what is achievable for each of their people, and sometimes they can see the possibilities for their staff that they can't yet see for themselves. And they have a picture of what is possible when they work as a highly functioning team. So let me ask you, have you ever thought about the dream or vision you have for your life and for your work? I'm sure you have. Now, often when I talk with clients about what is possible, there's this something that feels like it's far-reaching. When I say to them, if I could wave a magic wand and you could have this for, you know, have this experience in your career, or you could experience this inside your business, whatever that something is, it feels like it's far-reaching. And even the thought of it, as we start to talk about it, they'll say to me, Debbie, this is making my knees weak. But it's also the very thing that they want to experience, that they'd love to achieve more than just about anything else. But because just talking about it can take their breath away, because it's scary, it's easier and natural to pull back and want to play small. It's easy to choose to stay in their comfort zone, to take steps and make decisions that are safe. And living in the comfort zone is easy because it's what we know. In fact, I always say that goals never show up in the comfort zone. Instead, it's the home of tasks and checklists. You know, it's where you trick yourself into thinking you're a goal achiever because you're checking the boxes. But here's the thing, you're checking boxes for things you've done again and again. There's no real risk or challenge or learning or expansion of yourself happening here. It's just, you know, getting things done. It's maintenance. That's how I'd like to think about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we all have our lists that belong, that, you know, need our attention. I want you to understand that that's in our comfort zone. So don't fool yourself into thinking that just because you're doing it, particularly when you're doing the same old, that equates growth and accomplishment. So real challenges are posed when I ask them to move beyond their comfort zone. And initially, I want them to go into the stretch zone. I want them to stretch themselves. It's like my client Elizabeth. I worked with Elizabeth years ago, but I never forgot her. She had this dream of being a professional actress. But at that point, when we were first working together, the scope of her experience was local community theater, where she'd been performing since she was a young girl. Anytime she auditioned, she got a part. She knew everyone in that small local community, and people were excited, you know, to come to productions in which she was cast, especially as she matured and her acting experience expanded, and she was getting some lead roles. But, you know, she was really, really talented. So I could see why people would want to come and see her. But she knew that she would never grow as an actress, nor would she be considered for roles where she would be making a living as an artist, which is what she really wanted to do, if she stayed where she was living simply because she felt safe. So her stretch was to start auditioning in the professional arena. So for those of you in Nova Scotia, that would be like asking her to audition for Halifax's Neptune Theatre, which she did do. because I knew that she would never grow as an artist unless she was willing to do those kinds of things. And to her credit, she started auditioning for professional productions throughout Atlantic Canada. And slowly but surely, she got noticed. She got cast in small parts, and then she started to get cast in bigger and bigger parts. And the more she did this, the more her stretch zone started to feel almost like a comfort zone. Now, taking an even bigger step would represent for her a real risk. Risks are at play when the stakes are much higher than they are when you're merely stretching. So in the case of Elizabeth, asking her, challenging her actually, to dip into her savings to finance a trip to Toronto to meet with casting agents felt very, very risky. And I remember her saying to me, well, what if the trip turns out to be a waste of money? What if nobody likes me? What if they think I have no talent? What if I can't even get a meeting? You know, that what if, what if, what if? And yet, it's when I challenge clients to take not just risks, but calculated risks, that things really start to happen. So in Elizabeth's case, we made sure that she had some appointments before she went to Toronto. She reached out to some people that she knew who could help it open up some doors for her and make some introductions during that initial trip. And this is really important because ultimately, we are working to land in the outermost zone. So it goes, you're in your comfort zone. So it goes from your comfort zone. Things start to happen in your stretch zone, which gets you eventually to your risk zone, to that outermost zone, which we fondly call the die zone. You know, I always know that when I challenge somebody and their reply is, oh my God, Debbie, don't ask me to do that. I would die if I had to do that. That's when I know that we are on the edge of a quantum leap in their personal growth. That's when I say we have now entered the die zone. Being willing to live out in the die zone, I promise you, that's where we feel most challenged, most vulnerable, most excited, and most afraid all at the same time. And it's also where real change occurs. It's where we need to be to ensure that what we're learning about ourselves and our abilities truly become integrated into our thinking and our actions. It's the same client, Elizabeth, who after returning from her trip to Toronto, just came to the conclusion, she said it's an obvious conclusion, I have to make a permanent move there if I'm going to live my dream. And in the process, she echoed, you know, I'm choosing to settle not for good or mediocre or good enough, Debbie. You've said this to me over and over again, but I get it. This time, I am choosing to settle for great. And here's the thing. Elizabeth told me in the beginning that she wanted to have the courage to pick up her life and be where the action was theater-wise in Canada, which was in Toronto, with an eye to someday moving a little further, maybe out to Vancouver, or even to go beyond that into New York City or Los Angeles, or even the West End in London. But if I had said to her back then, look, you need to pack up your bags, you need to pack up your life in Canada, to give up your apartment in your town and move to Toronto to try and make a living as an actress, the mere thought of the magnitude of this undertaking would have stopped her in her tracks. It's never advisable, quite frankly, to go from your comfort zone to your die zone. Can you do it? Yes. Is it the best way to do it? I don't believe that it is. I believe it's smarter to step into the shallow end of the pool and gradually make your way to the deeper end, because what happens is that you become a stronger and more experienced swimmer, if I could use that analogy. And along the way, you build strength so that by the time you get to the deep end doesn't seem to be so deep after all. And when I teach about this, I also always point out that it's important to understand and to be able to observe that what's one person's comfort zone could be somebody else's die zone. And for a third person, they might say, well, this is my risk zone bordering on stretch, which means I'm going to the other end. It's, you know, it's more than a stretch, but it's not too far into my risk zone. So applying this model of stretch, risk, or die is very, very personal. And it's based on how someone feels that they're going to feel, believes that what's how someone's going to feel at each level. It's not how you felt when you were there, and therefore you think that that's how that person should feel when they get there. It's very much about how they perceive it. Now, I love to use the model of stretch, risk, or die to help my clients strategize around goal setting. It also helps when I challenge them to do something, and then I'm able to check in and ask, you know, I say to them, so when I say that to you, when I'm encouraging you to do this, is what's that? Is that a stretch? Is that a risk? Is it stretch bordering on risk? Is it complete die for you? It's really helpful. It's given us some language that we can use so that if it's necessary, we can make appropriate adjustments. Sometimes what I think is going to be a stretch for somebody, they look at me and go, Debbie, that you've just put me in my die zone. I'm surprised, but I'm learning so that I'm able to make some adjustments. I have used it in all kinds of ways. I've used it with people that work with me. I've used it with students. I've used it with family. So it's a model that can be used in a whole lot of different ways. Now, start with a stretch and then tiptoe into the risk zone. But ultimately, you've got to be willing to die for your dreams and your goals. And what you'll discover is that once you've spent some time in the die zone, it no longer feels as scary as it initially seemed. In fact, it soon becomes a risk and then a mere stretch. And quite frankly, eventually it could become your comfort zone. It could be that thing that when you do it, it's as natural as brushing your teeth. I think about when I first started teaching, talk about wanting to be in your die zone. I mean, I would be just nauseous before I'd have to go and teach a class because it seemed like so insurmountable for me. And when I look at it today, it is as natural for me as brushing my teeth. So you can take something that was once way out there and bring it way, way back into a different part of that model. All right, my compassionate leaders, your take action challenge this week is to take a goal you'd love to achieve that just thinking about it stirs up a knot in your belly or makes your heart race. That's when you know that the thought of that puts you in your die zone. Then I want you to map out what you might do to take a few steps that would stretch you, and then look at what a risk would be like and what would help to make the pathway to your die zone smoother and achievable. And then take the very first step into your stretch zone. You will love yourself for it. Think of it as your proclamation to no longer choose to play small. This always makes me reflect on Marianne Williamson's powerful piece called Our Deepest Fear, which I understand she wrote in response to a conversation she'd had with Oprah Winfrey. And as part of her reply to Oprah, Marianne wrote, and this is her piece and I love it. She wrote, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." I love that. I say, be the trailblazer and go light the way for other people in your life, especially as a compassionate leader. Go light the way for your team members. All right, finally, as I always do, I want to remind you that if you haven't done so already, please go to my website, debbielawrence.ca, and sign up for this podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you're hearing, tell a friend about it, suggest it to someone else, leave a comment, or write a review. I'd really appreciate it. Until next time, here's to giving ourselves permission to show up as open, fierce, and compassionate leaders, and always to living life abundantly. Bye for now.